Amen. Well, an honor to share the word with you tonight. Our title is, You Will Be My Witnesses. God's call is to make him known, to be filled with his spirit, and to be his witness. The witness of our life is important to God. It is important to the believer as well as the unbeliever. God cautions us about the kingdom of this world, and he commands us about the kingdom of God. We've heard this passage recently a few times, but let's not underestimate the truth of the word of God out of Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Jesus said in John 18:36, My kingdom is not of this world. Colossians 1, verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There is a war tonight for your witness. We are called to walk in this world as a witness and testify of the life of Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 8, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 20, verse 24, But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Number one tonight, a witness shows evidence of godly character. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14, And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. People can see the witness of our garments. What garment are you wearing tonight? Are we wearing darkness or light? We know that there is a battle to live according to the sinful nature instead of the life of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verses 22 to 24, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. One of the greatest examples to us in Scripture of a life that was changed is Saul's conversion. We know that he was known as the biggest persecutor of the Christians in that time. And in Acts chapter 9, it tells us the story of how Saul has this undeniable encounter with Jesus. And he goes on to bear witness because his character was changed by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 out of the Amplified. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit. With personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number two tonight, a witness bears truth of the gospel and Holy Spirit power. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Christ came into the world to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. that he came to save and redeem us. He bore witness of his sacrifice and secured our eternity with him. And we too are called to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. What do people in our lives witness in us? Do we act differently than the world? Can they tell whose kingdom we are serving? The Bible says to redeem the time, for the days are evil. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said we would receive power, and then we would be his witnesses. And I'm so thankful that the scriptures give us indication of who the Holy Spirit is, how we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. John 14 tells us that the Holy Spirit will dwell with you and will be in you to empower you and help you to be a witness of the truth. The first thing here under this point, the Holy Spirit empowers us in times of trial. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 11. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We have to carry the life of Jesus in our trials in order to be a witness of him. Our trials and the testing of our faith will develop our witness. How many have experienced that in your life? Can we be a witness of the Holy Spirit in the midst of our trials? What if the people in our lives, when they looked at us, they witnessed our living hope, our peace, even though they are aware of the difficult situation that we are walking through? Maybe they're aware of the hopelessness that could easily be surrounding you. Maybe they're aware of deep disappointment. Yet when they look at you, they are witnessing the life of the Holy Spirit. They might just take note of their own life and say, whatever it is that you have, I need that for my life as well. Our heart and our thoughts will experience warfare to remain strong in our faith and the truth. So in the attack of confusion and false doctrine, bear witness of the only truth. In the temptation to follow culture or our own ways, bear witness of one who follows Jesus. In the trial of loneliness and sorrow, bear witness of him as your comforter. In the attack of fear, anxiety, and depression, bear witness of him as your supernatural peace that is able to conquer those attacks every single time. The second part here is the Holy Spirit ministers through us. We will be a witness of his truth as we minister spiritual gifts to one another. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. The Holy Spirit ministers through us as he anoints us with the oil of his Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20 out of the Amplified, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. We have our familiar passage to us from Isaiah 61 that we hear often, that we have been anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom and liberty to those who are bound and in prison. Can you think of those in your life who are living in darkness, whose hearts and minds are literally in the dark, blinded? They need you to bear witness of the truth of God's presence and his Holy Spirit. And number three tonight, a witness testifies. The book of Acts testifies of the believers who walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with fire, and they spoke in other tongues. And after this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God tells us that we see a massive revival that takes place. After they left the upper room, it was Peter who was the first one to explain the evidence that the people were seeing and hearing. In verses 14 to 17 in Acts 2, Peter testifies that they were witnessing the promise from Joel chapter 2 that tells us that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And I just want to remind us tonight that this promise out of Joel, it wasn't just for them. It wasn't just for the New Testament church, but there is a promise over your family tonight. There is a promise over this city. There is a promise over this house and over the nations of the world that he who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who surrenders his life, he who would be hungry and desperate for the Holy Spirit, an outpouring would come over your life. We need this outpouring over our lives. Further on in Acts 2, verses 40 to 41, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. We are called to testify of the life of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak." If we believe in the life of Jesus Christ, we must be those who speak of Jesus. The first one here under this point, we have to be those who testify to the enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, after Satan waged war in heaven, it says that he was thrown out of heaven. This passage tells us that he has come down to earth having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Further down in verse 17 of this passage, it says that Satan has come down to earth to make war with those who keep the commandments of God and those who testify of Jesus Christ. Why is Satan angry? Why is he waging war against your witness and against your testimony? Because Satan understands who the Holy Spirit is. He understands that we as believers are filled with the life and the power of the Holy Spirit in order to strengthen our faith and to anoint us to be a witness in Satan's realm of darkness. And you know, he's okay with you only having a small measure of the Holy Spirit. But what he's actually concerned about is the body of Christ carrying the endowment of power, the fire of the Holy Spirit on their lives, because he knows that if the body of Christ would move with the fire of the Holy Spirit on their lives, that the kingdom of darkness is actually in trouble. And so the Lord urges us to be those who are endued with power, that we would be those who would testify. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the weapon Jesus used was to prophesy and testify the written word of God by declaring, "It is written, it is written." You have to be one who testifies to the enemy that the kingdom of God will always be greater than the kingdom of darkness. You have to be able to declare, "Satan, you have no authority over my present. You have no authority over my future. It is written, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. You may have formed weapons against my life, but they will not prosper in the name of Jesus Christ." This is the word of God. This is what we are called to testify. And you know, I just wonder tonight if there is anybody in this room, and maybe you just need to be reminded that his darkness has no hold over your life. The Word of God says that all authority has been given on earth and in heaven to Jesus Christ, and Jesus has given us authority. That means with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we are able to take the Word of God and testify the Word of God and declare, it is written, everything must bow at the name of Jesus. You have authority tonight to look at your darkness, whatever it is that it looks like, and you say, not today, Satan. Satan, bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we can just hear the Spirit of God and that urgency over our lives. The second one here is testify to the believer and the unbeliever. We have to testify of God's faithfulness and the power of the Holy Spirit. I was reminded of a conversation that I had with a Christian woman at my daughter's school just over a year ago. It was last fall. And I asked her how her summer had been. And she began to share with me the story of her summer and how difficult it had been because of some health challenges that she was going through. And I looked at her and I sympathized with her. And then I testified the truth. And I just said to her, you know, I'm so thankful that when we go through these storms, that we have the promise of the presence of Jesus and his peace that is with us in the storm. And she replied by saying this, you know, I don't actually believe that. That has not been my experience. I believe that Jesus allows us to go through the storm, but his peace is not with us in the storm. It's not until we have come out the other side that we get his peace. I have to tell you that I was shocked and I was grieved. False doctrine. That is what that is. And what it did in my spirit is it just made me go, how many people who are professing to be Christians are living without the power of the Holy Spirit? How many people who are professing to know the name of Jesus are living without spiritual victory in their lives? We have to be men and women of God who in our conversations, we testify of his truth. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, out of the Living Bible, but thanks be to God. For through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us, so that now wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. As far as God is concerned, there is a sweet, wholesome fragrance in our lives. It is the fragrance of Christ within us, an aroma to both the saved and the unsaved all around us. Tell people about your encounter with Jesus. How has he saved you? How has he delivered you? Do you have a story of healing? I love water baptism services for this reason here. Make sure you're here next Sunday morning. You don't want to miss it. But the declarations of faith that are shared of the delivering and saving power of God are incredible. People set free from addiction. People set free from unbelief, all kinds of testimonies. Listen, God is alive and he is moving in people's lives today. We are so thankful for that. And the third thing, the final thing tonight is testify to your family. Matthew 5, verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. We need to shine the light of Jesus Christ to all who are in your house. I felt led to share this evening with permission the story of my mom's salvation that happened several years ago. I did not grow up in a Christian home. When I was 15 years old, I gave my life to Jesus after an incredible encounter at a youth rally. During my high school years, my witness of the love of God, it was evident to my church family and to my Christian friends, but it was not evident to my family. My home life at that time was very painful, and I was filled with a lot of hurt, bitterness, and brokenness. When I was 18 years old, I moved out to Edmonton, started attending Bible college. In my first week of college, at the end of a chapel service, I was up at the altar just pressing in, so hungry for more of the presence of God, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly about my need to soften my heart and to begin to witness the love of God to my mom that I hadn't done in several years. Let's have the worship team return, please. At that time in my mom's life, she was living in deep heartache, and her heart was hardened toward God. She hadn't served him in many decades, my entire childhood. But the change in me toward her was so evident that she began to ask me about it. And I was able to testify that it was only the power of God's love and his presence that was changing me. And what began to happen after that is a miracle. Her heart began to soften towards conversations about God and what he was doing in my life. 6 years later, it was the week before my wedding. The night before I was supposed to pick my mom up from the airport, I was laying in my bed just grieved and burdened for her salvation. Back when I started witnessing to her 6 years earlier, I also began to just intercede for her salvation consistently in my life. So here we are all these years later, and I'm laying in bed and I'm just burdened for her salvation. And I began to weep. And as I lay in bed, the tears began to fall onto my pillow. And I began to cry out to the Lord, and I began to pray. And I just began to call out and say, "How long, O Lord? How long until your salvation comes to my mom?" The next morning was Sunday morning. Very early, I went out to the airport, picked her up, dropped her off at my house, and went to church. In those years, the pastor sat on the platform during worship and the ministry, and I happened to be sitting up there that Sunday. We had guest ministry that Sunday morning. A man of God who moves in the healing ministry and prophetic ministry. And as he went out into the congregation ministering over the people of God, he got to the back of the auditorium, turned around, looked right at me and pointed his finger at me and just said, "The Lord wants you to know that he has seen you as you have laid your head in bed. The tears have fallen onto your pillow and you have cried out and you have said, 'How long, O Lord? How long until your salvation comes?' The Lord wants you to know that his salvation is coming." Word for word. 2 years later, my mom moved out here, gave her life to Jesus, and has been serving him ever since. Listen, never underestimate the power of your witness of God's love. Never underestimate the power of your witness of his truth, of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. God will use it for his glory. I'm sure we can all testify tonight of God's faithfulness and power in our lives. Psalm 71, verses 17 to 18. "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." We have to testify to the generations to come of the greatness and power of our God. It is the most important legacy that we will ever leave behind. You know, I've had the honor of being able to serve at many years of youth camps. One of the most powerful parts of youth camp is when teenagers stand up and they testify to how God has saved them, to how God has revealed himself to them to never turn back from their faith. And you know, when our young children and our youth declare the power of God in their lives, there is a shift that takes place in the supernatural realm. When the younger generation stands up to declare that God is moving in their lives and they will be his light to their generation. And I just felt like the Spirit of God just wanted to say this tonight. Over every teenager and over every young adult in this house tonight, you already have a testimony. But don't forget that God is still forming more of your testimony, There is more of his faithfulness. There is more of his power that he wants to reveal to you. Don't stop hungering after the presence of God. Keep pressing in. Keep worshiping with zeal, because God is going to reveal himself to you in ways that will save you and that will empower you in your future. Judges 2, verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. And verse 10 says this: when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. We are responsible for how we declare and testify to the next generation. And let it never be said on our watch that the generation after us, because of us, did not know who the Lord our God was, because they never heard us testify about him. An entire generation lived after Joshua who didn't know about the urgency to walk with him. To every adult, parent, and grandparent, testify to the younger generation of the power of God in your life. You have no idea how your witness and testimony will encourage, save, or strengthen someone's faith. Let's stand together tonight, please. Church, we need to intercede for the gospel to advance, for a mighty Holy Spirit outpouring. And I wonder if you could just take a moment and close yourself in with the Lord tonight. Would you allow the Spirit of God to just ignite your heart in a fresh way, to just stir you towards this call on our lives, to minister the testimony of God's word and how he has changed us. Acts 1:8 out of the Living Bible: but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect. And Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's not about us, it's about the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We need a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. And I pray that there just would be a holy hunger that would be ignited. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you've been baptized with fire. Maybe it's been a long time since you have exercised and activated that gift of tongues in your life. Don't lay it to the side. It is an important gift for the church. It's an important gift for the world. And we need to be those who carry the fire, who are baptized with the Holy Spirit for his kingdom to be advanced. I pray tonight that we would get hungry for the Joel 2 promise, for the upper room experience. We need a church who are baptized with this fire to be a witness and testify. And you know, the Holy Spirit is always ready. The Holy Spirit is always yearning to pour out on his people, on his sons and daughters. So we're going to lift up a song tonight. If you want to come to the altar and seek the Lord, please just come. If you need prayer for anything, we would love to lay our hands on you. But let's offer up this song of worship to the Lord tonight.